Jude's letter is like a piece of music, okay? The little epistle of Jude, it's just like a piece of music. My musical knowledge is very limited, but I do know that as the music gets louder, it's called a crescendo. And Jude here comes to the crescendo. It's a great crescendo of praise. And I want us to just to come back to it tonight. We looked at it briefly last Thursday night, and it was really verse 24 we thought about. But I want us to really focus more on verse 25 tonight. So here it is. We'll just read it all, the two verses, 24 and 25. "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen." We thought last week about how the Lord Jesus is going to present us faultless. Faultless. Someday in the future, we're going to be faultless. And the reason why we will be faultless as we are presented to God the Father, it's very simple. It's because Christ is faultless. Okay? I want you to really grasp that tonight. We one day will be presented faultless because he is faultless. And his righteousness is applied to our account. It's like when you get a deposit into your account, somebody lodges funds in your account, or you know, for a salary or wages. The talk nowadays about direct debit, and it goes into your account automatically. Well, the Lord Jesus puts his direct debit into our account the moment we're saved, and we are righteous in him. He becomes our righteousness, and when God the Father looks at us, he sees Christ. And one day we'll be faultless. And you remember last week we emphasized that down here on earth we are not faultless. And if you're to ask the average man in the street about the church, he'd be able to point out a lot of faults and tell you a lot of things wrong with the church. Some of them might be a load of rubbish, but some of them, sad to say, will be true. And it's sad whenever, you know, people who are not believers, when they can point at the lives of Christians and say, "That man didn't treat me very honestly. He's not very honest in business." Or, "That man there, he's the type of man you couldn't trust, for he did this to me, or he did that to me," or whatever. And I know sometimes it's just mudslinging. Because the unsaved like to throw mud at the Christians. But there's sometimes it's true. And the church isn't faultless. But thank God one day Christ will present us to the Father, and we will be faultless. We'll not have any spot or blemish or wrinkle. What a day that will be. But tonight, verse 25... let's come to this great crescendo of praise. Jude says, "To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen." Jude wants the Lord to have all the praise. And I want you to, just for a moment or two, before we get really into the meat of the study, I want you to look at that wee word "now." Just a tiny little word there right at the end, N-O-W, now. It's a very important word. It's a word that the Bible uses many, many times. You'll find it time and time again in Scripture. We could talk tonight about Romans chapter 8, verse 1. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus." Hallelujah, tonight we are not condemned. Ah, but you say, "Well, what about all my failures? What about this week? Sure, I've let the Lord down. I said something I shouldn't have said. I did something I shouldn't have done. and have grieved the Lord. Well, that may be true. But as far as your salvation goes, you are in Christ, and that means that you're not condemned. As far as eternity goes, we are no longer under condemnation. Here on this earth, as far as our daily life goes, there are times whenever we do have to get down before the Lord and say, Lord, I made a real mess there. And Lord, will you please have mercy on me, forgive me, cleanse me. And will you help me, Lord, not to make that same mess again? Well, thank God we're not condemned. We are children of the King. We don't come before God as a criminal before a judge. We're coming before God as a child before a father. And that's the relationship we have with the Lord. There's sometimes, as I've said, that the fellowship gets broken. Because of our sin, because of our shortcomings, the fellowship is broken between us and the Father. But the relationship is not broken. And you know, that's an important truth to grasp, because some believers think that when they fall, that somehow they're not a Christian anymore. Well, that's not the case. We are children of God, and God is our Father. 1 Corinthians 15:20, now is Christ risen. Another great text of scripture that we ought to remember that contains that little word now. Now is Christ risen. Now, Paul wrote that 2,000 years ago. But we can say it today, 2,000 years later, now is Christ risen. He's risen tonight in 2016. He's as risen as he was 2,000 years ago. Thank God the Saviour is alive, and we're coming tonight to worship one who is alive forevermore. 2 Corinthians 6:2, how often have we heard this verse? Now is the accepted time, now is the day of salvation. Hebrews 9:26, it speaks there that now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. That's the now of sacrifice. The Lord Jesus has offered one sacrifice for sins forever. Hallelujah. That's why we are accepted. So there's, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. I think there's something like 1,300 occurrences of that little word now in the Bible. 1,300 times in God's word you'll read now. But I want us tonight to focus on one of the very last nows of the Bible. Here in verse 25, Jude says, now and ever. He wants the Saviour to have the glory and the majesty, the dominion and the power, both now and ever. I want you to think about the Lord Jesus Christ in his present state. To go back to Jude's word, now. Now Christ has glory. I believe that's what Jude's saying to us here. Now Christ has glory. The Lord Jesus Christ has the glory. The Christians in heaven tonight, if you were to ask the question, does Christ have glory? They would say, yes, he does. There'd be no doubt about it. Because in heaven, they sing the song, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. So Jesus has the glory. But the Bible tells us to give him more glory. Psalm 29 verse 2. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. That's our privilege tonight. And on Sunday morning. And on Sunday evening. Every time we come into God's house. We can give him the glory. He already has the glory. He shines with splendor. But we can come and we can add to his glory with our praises. It's good to be able to praise the Lord Jesus, to give him the glory that he alone deserves. Jonathan Goforth was a Canadian missionary, and he went to the land of China. And whenever he would come home on furlough, he would often travel around speaking at lots of different meetings. And you know, every time, without fail, just before he would get up, the person introducing him would say, "And we are delighted tonight to have the pleasure of the company of the great missionary Jonathan Goforth." And he would start off into a real spiel about how wonderful Mr. Goforth was. And you know, Mr. Jonathan Goforth, he used to just hang his head every time. And then he would get up and he would tell a wee story about a woodpecker. And how the woodpecker went up to the top of this great pine tree and gave it a couple of pecks. And then there was a flash of lightning that just brought the tree crashing down. And boy, the wee woodpecker, he thought he was great because he thought he had knocked down this big pine tree with just a couple of wee pecks. Little did he know that it was the lightning that brought it down. You know, sometimes preachers, missionaries, even Christians in general, we can get proud. And we think we have achieved great things, and we can kind of puff out our chest, and we can get swelled up with pride, a wee bit like the woodpecker. But we're only deceiving ourselves, we're only delusional, because we don't deserve any of the glory, and we dare not take any of the glory that belongs to the Lord, because the Lord says, "My glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images." Let's not be proud tonight, but let's give the Lord the glory. It's actually the word doxa. It's a Greek word. And that's where we get our word doxology. Doxology. And you know the doxology that we love to sing. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him all creatures here below. Praise him above ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It's the doxology. Well, Jude here has a doxology for us because he wants to give the Lord the glory. The doxa. And may that be our desire tonight as we get down to prayer, that we would offer to him the sacrifice of praise and that we would want him to have all the glory. Okay, Jude says that he's not, the Lord Jesus Christ right now has glory, but he also has majesty. He speaks of this word majesty. If I was to say Her Majesty, who do you think I'm talking about? Yes, the Queen. Queen Elizabeth II, our gracious Queen, who is 90, and we all know about the birthday celebrations that are started and ongoing, and I think really they come to a climax next month. But whenever we talk about that word majesty, it's to do with the monarch, isn't it? The Lord Jesus Christ is the King. That's really what Jude is saying. Jesus is King, and he's the one with the majesty. We sing the chorus, don't we? Majesty, worship his majesty. Unto Jesus be glory, honor, and praise. King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be, lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow. Lead me to Calvary. Oh, how can we forget tonight about what our Saviour went through on Calvary? Because the hymn writer said that his throne was a wooden cross. That was his throne as he hung there for you and for me. What about his crown? Were there any jewels on his crown that day, the King of Kings? No, nothing but thorns. What a Saviour he is. Isn't he worthy of the glory? Yeah, he's worthy of majesty. What about dominion? Jude tells us that our Saviour in glory has dominion. This is really to do with his empire. Our Saviour has a great worldwide empire. He has dominion over this empire. We could say that he's not only the king of a kingdom, but he's the emperor of an empire. My, what an empire Jesus has tonight. And you know, men who have had empires down through history, how did they win their empires? By shedding blood, by the sword, by war, by violence, by force. Do you know how Jesus adds people to his empire? By love. He wins people by love. His great eternal love for lost sinners, and the hearts of many, many souls are won to him. The hymn writer said, "Fairest of all the earth, beside sweetest of all, unto thy bride, fullness divine, in thee I see, wonderful man of Calvary. That man of Calvary has won my heart from me and died to set me free, blessed man of Calvary." Yes, thank God Jesus has dominion tonight. He's the emperor ruling over his great universal empire. And his empire will never pass away. Isn't that good to know? You see, you think about Egypt. And we talked about Egypt there on the Sunday morning for a few months and the 10 plagues. But what about the Egyptian empire today? It's nowhere. It's history. You can go to the British Museum and you'll see artifacts and you can read all you like about Egypt, ancient Egypt, but it's an ancient empire that's passed away. School children, go to the British Museum and they'll look at this great empire, the Egyptian Empire, but that's all it is. It's in a museum. It's a thing, a relic of the past. What about Babylon? Nebuchadnezzar, he walked on the walls of his palace one day and he said, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built?" The Babylonian Empire. Where is it today? It's gone. Persia, they took over from Babylon. Where is it today? It's gone too. We could talk tonight about Greece, Alexander the Great. The Romans, my, their mailed fist took over most of what we know today as Europe. And the Romans, there seemed to be no stopping them. But where's their empire today? It's a thing of the past. We could talk about Spain, how the Spanish ruled the world. We know of Christopher Columbus, how he discovered the Americas. And the Spanish Empire blossomed and flourished, but then it declined. And it's no more. What about the British Empire? My, what Queen Victoria said to the African prince, "The secret of England's greatness is the Bible." That's the reason why we have this great empire, is because we believe the Bible and we rule according to the Bible. That's what made the British Empire great and why it expanded all over the globe. But where's the British Empire today? My, it's just a shadow of its of what it was in the past. But the empire of King Jesus shall never pass away. Jude says, our blessed Savior has dominion. Then let me finish tonight. This great king, this great ruler, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's got power. Okay? He's got glory, he's got majesty, he's got dominion. He's got power. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That's what Jesus said whenever he rose from the dead. But don't forget about what he said after that. He didn't stop there. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe whatsoever things I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. The Lord Jesus said, because he had the power, therefore we, his people, could go forth and evangelize. That's what we need to do. I touched on it last Sunday morning about the missionary Henry Martin.
and how he went forth, and our duty is to evangelize. Someone said, if we don't evangelize, we will fossilize. If the Christian church doesn't evangelize, if we don't seek to reach the lost, then we'll turn into a museum. That's why there's a lot of churches across the nation right now, and they're declining, and they're going to be turned into museums someday, or they're going to be taken over by Islam and turned into mosques. You know why it is? They stop preaching the gospel. They stop preaching the true gospel of Christ. Stop evangelizing. Well, Jesus says you don't have to stop evangelizing because all the power belongs to me. Go ye therefore. And then there's not only the go, but the lo. Lo, I am with you always. Through the ups and downs of the narrow way, the highs and the lows, the good days and the bad, I'll be with you all the way. It really means all the days. All the days. Every day of your life I'll be with you. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee.